Mary, someone I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name I know. Jesus is the sweetest name I know, and he's just the same as his love name. That's the reason why I love him so. For Jesus is the sweetest name.
glory, glory. Glory, glory. Because he loves me. That's why I love him. And he gets sweeter with every passing day. I was nothing with his mercy. Surrounds me, and I love him.
sorry. Anyway, they moved the pulpit because they have a little skit for us this morning, which is something sort of new for us. But anyway, we're trying every way we can to embrace what this time of year really represents. I know the world has commercialized, you know, this holiday of Christmas, but it's really about the birth of our Savior. I'm thankful for a country that still recognizes the birth of Jesus. Of course, I'm sure if you were to pin our government down, they might just say that, you know, it's a traditional holiday, but it's still called Christmas, and so they haven't took Christ out of it. I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful that we're still recognizing the birth of our Savior, and we may not, you know, I know there's a lot of controversy about this holiday season or this, you know, the day of Christmas. If you go back and study it, well, you'll find a lot of controversy and a lot of pagan ideas. And if you really study it, you'll find a lot of different ideas. In fact, you can't believe everything you read today. So, but my position on it is that we ought to hold to the American tradition that it's a celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. And that's what I think we as Christians are to focus on, that Jesus one day in God's time, he was sent of God, born of a woman. He came to this world in God's time. God had been dealing with, we actually got on this in Bible study a little bit today. You know, after the fall in the garden, it was determined even before that. I still think this is a great revelation that before the foundation of the world, Jesus was the Lamb slain. God and Jesus talked this over before the world was created, before heaven was created, before an angel was created. God and his Son talked it over, and Jesus understood that by the foreknowledge of God, there would be a fall of man, which I don't think is too far. It wouldn't take too much. If I said in Bible study, if you had the ability to create a person and give it a free will and the ability to multiply, I'm finding this operation of God known as the church is to be the most interesting thing that there is in life. And I'm just interested in seeing how all this is, God's working is going to turn out. Of course, we've read the back of the book, so we know quite a bit about it, but still to watch it in its and it's taking place. But anyway, as I was saying, Jesus knew I was just saying that you would probably know if you had the ability to create. And you had the knowledge of all righteousness. And the creature, you told, I want you to do everything I instruct you to do. And don't get off on your own ideas doing whatever you want to do, even though I'm giving you the ability to do that. You don't have to obey me. But if you will obey me, I'll give you life. I'll give you life eternal. But I can't give you life eternal if you're going to do your own thing and corrupt righteousness. And so God in Christ knew that was going to happen before the creation. Before the foundation of the world, He was the Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. But God and His desire for a righteous family, an eternal family, and one that wasn't made to serve Him, one that wasn't created just to do His will, but that He would have offspring that chose righteousness. You know, it's prophesied and written in the book of Hebrews, I think in the first chapter, where God told Jesus after He was here on the earth, He said, because thou loved righteousness and hated iniquity, therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee with the oil of gladness above your fellows. And of course we know the oil represents knowledge. And of course knowledge doesn't become understanding until, you know, oil back then and lamps was lit with a match or whatever to make fire, and of course when it made light, that brought understanding. So Jesus, because of His love for God's righteousness, God gave Him understanding. He gave Him knowledge and wisdom that made Him glad. And I'm telling you today, the more you know about this Jesus, the happier you'll become about life, because it's all good. We sang a song, He never done me nothing but good. You just, the more you serve Him, you know, you just, now you may get an idea once in a while. I've thought God dealt me a bad deal a time or two, Brother Daniels. But after a while, when I could look back, I saw it wasn't, God didn't deal me anything bad. It was all good. And so I'm the one that inserted the bad from time to time. Or the idea. Sometimes God does things for you that it's not so pleasant. You know, while God lets you go through it. Either lets you go through it or directs you through it. But it's for your good, and you'll see His wisdom in it if you'll keep serving Him. But Jesus, He was willing to come to this world. Before it was ever created, He understood that I'll leave my position in heaven as the greatest creature that God, and the only creature God created, because Jesus created everything else. But He knew He would leave that position, and not only leave the position, but leave the person of Christ and be reduced to a seed and brought to this world and placed in the womb of a little virgin girl to become the author of salvation, to redeem man from his fallen condition. I've just, in the last few years, I've done quite a bit of thinking on this, and I've thought about how Jesus, when He was first created of God, He was created celestial. He was created in celestial state. He was like angelic in His form. He didn't have a will to just do whatever. He didn't have His own will. He was created to do the will of God. But when He came here on this earth, the Bible says in Hebrews 2 that He took not on Himself the nature of angels, but he took the seed of Abraham He became a man. He became a human that he might be a faithful high priest, that he might be a mediator. And for him to do that, how could he understand where you and I are unless he'd been here? And he came here to this world and became a human. He didn't have any knowledge of that, the high estate. Here he was, the Son of God in heaven, the creator of all things. And now he's a little baby in a manger, and he don't know nothing about that previous existence. He had to live by faith. No wonder when he finished this calling of God and the charge that God gave him, and he finished it victorious. That's what you and I have to rejoice about today. And he looked up into heaven before he departed, and he said, "Father, give me the glory that I had with thee before the world was." Let me have that play. Let me give me that part of my mind back. I don't understand all of that. I'm telling you, I don't. But I just know how great this plan of salvation is. I just know that what a God in heaven that would take his Son and go through 4,000 years of working with man. You talk about a long-suffering, patient, precious God that's longing for children that will follow his instructions. And he understood. God understood. At least he understood some, but I think he understood more when he watched his Son go through the process. You know, the first man in the garden, Adam, he wasn't in a corrupt environment. He was in a sterile environment. He was in a pure place. There was no curse. There was no environment of sin and fallen condition. Even though the Bible calls Jesus the last Adam, he had more to go through than the first Adam because he was put in a corrupt environment. He had to suffer to be in a corrupt place and see what sin had done to this world. And yet he himself, the Bible said he was tempted in all points as you and I. See, that lets you know he wasn't an angel. He wasn't a God-man, but he was human and he was tempted. He could have done wrong. I said in Bible study, you can't be tempted unless you want to do something wrong. If he's tempted in all points that we're tempted in, there was times that his will rose up. Thank God he had the power of God. He did have an advantage. He was a Son of God. And God watched over him. And God gave him everything he had available. We read that scripture in St. John 3:34 where it said God gave not him the Spirit by measure. He was given the fullness of God. It wasn't anything lacking. He had all that God gave that was available. He could understand what you was thinking, what men were thinking. He had all the gifts, all 12 fruits of the Spirit. The gifts of the Spirit worked in him. He could discern what people was thinking. He could walk on water. He could command a storm to just disappear. He had the power of God to operate the operation of God in righteousness. And God wants you and I to reach a place like that. That's enough to almost blow your mind. By the way, I'm sure glad to have Brother David and Sister Anita Thompson with us here today. Appreciate y'all being here. Brother Thompson pastors a church down in Glenwood. And so I don't know if he's missing church today to be with us. I mean, he's making church, but he's not at home. So, but he labored, he and his wife and family, many years right here in this assembly. And and help build this church up. And so now he's pastoring a church, and so we certainly appreciate having them with us today. And then it's good to have Brother Stanley Fisher again. You're getting to be a regular, Brother Fisher. And then his sister Fisher's nephew, is that right? Isn't this your sister's boy from Oklahoma? And they've got a little baby, Alexis. We're glad to have you all with us here today. And then we already welcomed Sister Hannah's grandmother and her mother. They're here checking up on us, seeing how we're doing with their granddaughter and daughter. She just married. She just married into this assembly, and she's moved here, so they're concerned. So, I don't think too bad. I think they approved of it to start with, or maybe she wouldn't have never. Maybe Caleb wouldn't have gotten as far as he's got with this deal. But anyway, we're glad to have her, and we're glad y'all come to see her. And then Sister Lanny, and we mentioned them in Bible study, and Brother Durham's son, Brother Paul, and Sister Jessica, his wife. We're glad to have y'all today. And Sister Tally, I know this sister's been with us before, haven't you? Yes. All right. What was the name again? Okay. Chiemba. Is that close? Chi? Okay. All right. Mine is too. Chiemba. This is Sister Holly's friend. Is that right? Yeah, Sister Holly invited her. So we're sure glad you're here today. Do you understand English well? Okay, praise God. What's your nationality? Nigeria, all right. We need a Nigerian in this church. I'm trying to get Joseph's coat of many colors working in here. We need every culture there is so that we can really reflect the love of God and all of his children. But anyway, let me briefly here, I hope it'll just be briefly, but get back on my story of Jesus coming to this world. I just want you to see that when he came here and became a man, and that he could have failed. If he was tempted, he could have failed. There's no such thing as a temptless temptation. If you're tempted, that means you could do something you shouldn't do. But thank God he, with having all of God's fullness, he had enough power to live above his want to live above the temptation, to bring every imagination and high thing that exalted itself above God into subjection and hold it at bay. Did you know God wants you and I to develop and grow to a place that we're able to accomplish the same thing? And God sent Jesus to this world for that very reason. That you and I could be first born again. When we got into this world, the Bible says, man is a few days and full of trouble. We came into this world born of Adam with a fallen nature. That's why Jesus said, you must be born again. You have to be born of this, the nature of God. And it's a sinless nature. Our problem is we don't have a mind that can be a vehicle for this sinless nature. Our mind is lines up more with this Adamic nature, this corruption that the environment we came up in. But God, by the transforming of our minds, can get our mind to a place where it gives this sinless Holy Ghost nature the vehicle to manifest and develop to a sinless place in God. Till we come, Paul said in Ephesians 4, to the fullness of the stature of the man Christ Jesus. He came to this world first that you might be born of that nature, born again. Man was first born of God, Adam in the garden, but when he fell, we were born of Adam. And Jesus came that we might be born again of God, that we might be reconciled back to God through a new birth. And then Jesus went through a process of doing what Adam should have done in the beginning, following the instructions of God and not doing his own will, but following God's instructions. And I said this in Bible study. Don't get the idea that God wants you to, you know, just that he wants you, you know, I want you to do everything exactly to the T like I want you to do it. That's not God. That's not how God operates. But God wants you to do, he made us all with such abilities, such intricate, different talents of different intricacies and details, and all of the abilities. Every one of us are different. I don't understand that about God. I don't know how all the millions of people, how many billion? There's 7 billion people in the world, and not a one of them, not two of them, has the same fingerprint. Our iris print. They found out we're all different in that. DNA. We all are created as individuals of one another. Yet we're all the makeup of God if he can mature us. And so God just wants you to do all you do in righteousness. He's willing to let you have your abilities develop and have your individuality as far as you as a member of God's body or God's family. He just wants you to be righteous. That's what he wants. He just wants you to do all you do in righteousness. And he don't want you to do your own will until you get to a place that you can discern one from the other and choose the good. So Jesus came here first to live the life of righteousness on earth and develop into the mature person that lived above sin. Let me read you a scripture in Romans. Most of you know this scripture. But in Romans 8, he said, :29 says, "For whom he did foreknow," see, in God's foreknowledge, "he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren." God, he foreknew you. And he predestinated not you as an individual, but he predestinated that somebody would answer the call. Someone would respond to the call of God with faith and believe unto the saving of their soul, that they could be created after the image of the Son of God. Now, if that don't make you feel like jumping, your jumper's broke. Hallelujah! That I can have faith to believe that I could be like him. That he would just be the first among many brethren. You ought to just get a hold of that scripture. That's mine. Lord, that's mine. You predestinated that someone like me, that you could deal with, that I would respond and believe that I could be like you. That's why he came. He came, took on the form of man. He became like you and I. He was subjected to this environment of corruption, and he overcame the nature of sin. And when he died, he was the first born from the dead to prove that God will resurrect and give you life. Hallelujah. What a hope. What a hope. So let me read this scripture to you back in Isaiah. Isaiah prophesied, and he said, "Therefore the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall be called, his name shall be called Emmanuel," which means God with us. "And the people that walked in darkness have seen a great light. They that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them hath the light shined. Thou hast multiplied the nation and not increased the joy. They joy before thee according to the joy in harvest. And as men rejoice when they divide the spoil. For thou hast broken the yoke of his burden and the staff of his shoulder and the rod of his oppressor, as in the day of Midian. For every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood, but this shall be the burning and fuel of the fire. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David and upon the kingdom to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth, even forever. The zeal of the Lord will perform this." This Jesus that I'm talking about, he was the voice of prophecy, the word of God in the mouth of the prophet that prophesied this about himself coming. What a God. What a God. What an opportunity. What a calling. The more we're understanding, and this happened, Jesus came. I mentioned in the Bible study, after he had dealt with, you know, it took God. It took 4,000 years, but it took God 2,000 years of dealing with Jews, the Jewish people, Israel, to get them to a place that they could receive Christ, which was God in his fullness. That's what Emmanuel means. It means God with us. That they could receive the fullness of God's plan for them. Now, after God dealt with the Jewish world, there was a harvest back there in that world, and God was able to bring people to a place that they could receive the fullness of God and be conformed to the image of Christ. But now you and I, we're in the Gentile world. And we're fixing to embark on 2015. Still 18 years from 2033, which would be 2,000 years from the day of Pentecost. So, you would be remiss not to admit that we're in the end of the Gentile world. And God, see, you and I, God didn't deal with us 2,000 years like he did the Jews. In the end of that world, God grafted in. He called a man by the name of Saul of Tarsus and changed his name to Paul. And he became the apostle to the Gentiles. And while the 12 apostles were harvesting, the end of the Jewish world, Paul was planting the seed of the Word of God among heathen, idolatrous, corrupt Gentiles that had little knowledge of God. And so the church had to come down on a primitive level, and God has been dealing with the Gentiles now for almost 2,000 years. And He's bringing us to a place where there can be another harvest of another world, and there can be a people given the fullness that are ready and able to receive the fullness of God to be made after His image once again. The church is in its restoring process. God's restoring the church to the place it was in the end of the Jewish world. And you and I have an opportunity to be a part of it. Hallelujah. To me, Jesus coming to this world is meaning more to me every day. More than it's ever meant before. Because I understand now why He came. You know, I didn't understand all that. I didn't understand all why Jesus came to this world or even why He had to come. You know, I just thought, well, if God could accept the blood of a goat or a lamb, well, why did Jesus? But you see, the blood of a goat or lamb can't change your nature. God used that just to forgive sin while righteousness was imputed. In other words, God counts you righteous. Under the law, He accepted sacrifices and He used blood. Do you ever wonder why this God of creation wanted all of these blood sacrifices? I mean, to me, that was kind of gory. I mean, I believed in God because I might be different than some of y'all. I grew up as a little Pentecostal church brat. You know, my mama just drugged me to church every Sunday, and she was a Pentecostal girl, so she took me to a Pentecostal church. So I just came up in church. I didn't have the choice. That's kind of like Brother Paul Durham back here. His mom and dad, he was just a baby when they came in. They already had him, but he was still, you had to carry him around because he didn't know what was going on. But he didn't have a choice. He was drafted into the kingdom of God. That's the way I was. They just brought me in. I was 12 years old when the Spirit of God fell on me, and one day I got the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Because the Spirit of God, I just happened to be there. I was drafted into it. I didn't have to decide. Nobody told me about it. Said, do you believe in it? Do you want it? I didn't ask for it. I just got it. Let me tell you something. I was one of the most blessed children on the face of the earth. I just happened to be exposed to the things of God. And because of mercy and grace, the mercy that was laid up for me by a mama that prayed. And I don't know if she ever prayed, give him the Holy Ghost without him even knowing what he got. But I got it. But I know she is praying for her kids. Some people grow up out here in the world and they have to make a decision. But however this reaches you, that's the greatest blessing that can ever happen to you in life. If God can ever touch you to ever receive Him. And no matter what measure you've been touched of God, you're highly blessed if you've ever been touched by Him. But there's more of God until you reach this place of being created after His image. And that's why I'm saying when Jesus finished His work here on earth, He developed as a human that chose righteousness. He wasn't made to be right. He didn't have to. It wasn't forced on Him. He had a will to choose. Because thou lovest righteousness and hatest iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God,
has anointed you. Woo!
I'm telling you, saints, today you can love. If you'll turn your face towards God, He'll help you love what's right and hate what's wrong. And when God, you let God touch you that much, He'll change you and begin to give you favor and give you the oil of gladness above your fellows. Other men, other women that aren't receiving what you're receiving. Jesus, after He reached that place, when He went back to heaven, can't you see this? He was a far greater creature than the one that came. He was far greater because He had an inside knowing of the corruption of sin. He wasn't made to do God's righteousness. He learned to do it. And He was created in the fullness of righteousness because He learned to love it. That's why He came, so that you could have exactly what He attained. That's what His coming was all about. When He went back to heaven, before He left, He told 12. He told them, He said, you're going to reap where you didn't sow. There's going to be a harvest. But He said, look, I'm leaving here, but I'm not leaving you comfortless. But He said, I'm going to come back again. And I'm going to give you what I have. You remember this, what He said? He said, in My Father's house are many mansions. Now this may throw you a little curve on what you've heard about this, but I'm going to tell you the truth about it. That word mansions means abode. That's just exactly what it means. The same word when Jesus said, Me and My Father will come and make our abode with you. It's the exact same Greek word translated two different ways. But when He said, in My Father's house are many mansions, the Greek words was abodes. And He said, I'm going away to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you might be also. What He meant by that is I'm going to heaven to present my sacrifice of a sinless life to My Father. And when that's accepted, it's going to make a place for you in a new covenant, that where I am, this life that I'm living of born of God's nature and living a righteous life, you can have that too. That's where I'm going to prepare that for you. And I'm coming back. And He meant on the day of Pentecost that you might be born. That's why He told them the importance. When He resurrected from the dead, He didn't even go to heaven. Not before He first wanted to. He hadn't risen to His Father, but first He wanted to get back to those men. And you know what He said to them? He walked up to them and breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, the birth, that being born again. He told them, I'm going to come back. I won't leave you comfortless. He said, in that day, you'll know that I am in My Father and He's in Me. And in that day, My Father and I will make our abode in you. He said, He's been with you. This Holy Ghost has been with you, but He shall be in you. And he told them, before He went back to heaven, He breathed on them and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. That's how important it was. And then before He ascended up to heaven, He told them, He said, go into the city of Jerusalem and go in the upper room and stay there until you be endued with power, empowered with power from on high, and receive the promise of the Father, the new birth. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. My, what a Savior. That when He resurrected, He knew the whole plan of salvation rests in these 12 men. Right here. And look what God did. He came to his own, and his own received him not. That was Israel. But as many as did receive him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And Paul said later in Romans 8, he said, the whole world waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. That was talking about the Jewish world. I'm telling you today, the Gentile world is waiting for a manifestation of the sons of God down in the end of this world. And it's coming, saints. Don't let anybody tell you it's not. He's going to restore his church. I don't have time today, but I could give you several scriptures showing you that Jesus is coming in a harvest. He's coming. John saw him on a cloud, like one like unto the Son of Man, having a sickle in his hand. And a voice, one came out of the temple and said, thrust in your sickle, for the earth is ripe and ready to harvest. And that, in the book of Revelation, is talking about down here in the end of the Gentile world. There's a harvest coming. Jesus is coming back, but he's first coming in a people that will manifest him to this world. And the power of God is going to come with that. And salvation is coming in a far greater measure than anything we've ever seen before. Because Jesus, before the foundation of the world, agreed to come. He could have lost everything. But he was willing. He was willing. What a God. I don't understand that kind of love yet. I'm trying to get it, but I know I don't have it. Not fully. Of a God that loves. He loves life. In so much that he would suffer these 6,000 years to obtain some. Everyone won't make it. Everybody won't choose. He'll come to his own again in the end of the Gentile world. And his own will receive him not, but as many as will receive him, to them he'll give power to become the sons of God. Hallelujah. God give me the strength to stay in the boat until this is accomplished in me fully. Hallelujah. Let me read you. I'm going to read you and I'm going to sit down. And you know, I'm just trusting Brother Fisher. I asked him to put us something together. And for today. And how long, when was that? 3 weeks ago? 2 days before Thanksgiving. And he said, that now that'll take a miracle of God for me to get that ready for, you know, for Sunday the 21st. And I said, I believe in miracles. And so, I'm going to reveal just something here. He called me back, you know, because I know his mind got to working. He got to thinking about how are we going to get all these people dressed up in beards and robes and you know, skirts and all of the things that, you know, would depict back there. So he called me back and he said, how would you feel if we did this in the flavor of if Jesus came today in our world? He said, that would help us do away with a lot of costumes and a lot of other things that I'd have to have props to do. I said, well, that sounds like a good idea. So I'm just giving you a little insight, you know, that's kind of the flavor they're going to do this in, I think, if he hadn't changed that. I just want to read this to you. I'm not going to preach anymore. But I'm telling you, I could preach today. Y'all are listening too good. It just causes, you know, it's like saying sick 'em to a preacher. You know, y'all are just all looking at me real good and listening. It seems like you are. You're really putting on a good show if you're not. So that makes me really want to preach, but I'm going to be good. But I am going to read you this scripture, okay? And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed, and this taxing was first made by Cyrenius when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea unto the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over the flock by night. Lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said unto them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, and the shepherds said one to another, Let us now go even unto Bethlehem and see this thing which is come to pass, which the Lord hath made known unto us. And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning the child. And all they that heard it wondered at those things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen, as it was told unto them. Can you imagine this happening? I mean, here, this Creator that created everything and had lived 4,000 years and was reduced to a seed, placed in the womb of a woman, in God's time, made of a woman, Jesus came. And here these shepherds are out in the field. And you know, we don't really know the exact date, timeline of all this. I don't know if you've ever thought about when the Passover was, you know, there had to be a lamb. Everybody had to kill a lamb. You imagine how many thousands of lambs were produced for that time of year and sold to people. There would have been a lot of shepherds in the field at that time. But these shepherds, it doesn't tell us the timeline, but they were in a field watching over sheep. And an angel appeared to them. What if this was happening in our day and you was one of them shepherds? I mean, would you feel special or not? Here you are, just an old shepherd out in this field, just sitting there watching sheep, and an angel appears to you and says, look, the Son of God has been born. And you go, you're going to find a little baby. It's him. And when the angel tells that, thousands of angels appear from heaven that you could see. And they begin to worship and praise God
for what had taken place. Think about it. My Lord, what a day that God had waited 4,000 years to bring the Redeemer into this world, the hope of man's kind, life. And he arrived. No wonder an angel had to tell somebody. And no wonder, let me ask you, if you'd have been one of them shepherds, could you have kept it quiet? They said they went about telling everybody. Hey, let me tell you what happened. I'm telling you, thank God there was more than just one shepherd, because you wouldn't have believed one guy. But if he had a witness, wouldn't it have been good if you'd have said, ask him, he was there too. He saw it also. This angel came and told us that where we would find the baby Jesus. Hallelujah. And we did what they said, but before we left, a whole host of heaven, we saw angels, thousands of them, glorifying God because His Son had finally come to this world to redeem fallen man from his sinless condition, sinful condition. And we went and we found the little baby exactly like it was told us, wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. We didn't know what that meant when the angel told us that. Why would we find a newborn baby out in a barnyard somewhere? In a barn, in a manger. But we found out. You know, that's just like God, isn't it? God, He'll come to you in ways that you never dreamed of. And God's not in on these, all the big frills and thrills of that frills and thrills the flesh. But He just sometimes meets you in a very low, humble setting. He just wants you to know, look, this is real. You know, I'm not going to glorify your flesh. You're in a real moment. It's time for you to make up your mind to serve me. You're going to grow up in reality. You're going to be tempted. You're going to be tested. And I'll give you the strength. I'll give you the power. And I'll go with you. And I'll make a way for you where there seems to be no way. Hallelujah. Thank God, saints. Could we give Him a praise? Would you just stand up on your feet with me while they get ready to come? Let's give Him a praise today. Thank God. Thank God for the Son of God that came to this world to save our souls, to lift us up out of a pit of sin. Oh, God, I thank You today, Lord. Oh, God, give us a greater, higher appreciation for You and Your goodness to us, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Praise Your wonderful name, Lord. Praise Your wonderful name. All right, if you'll be seated, and I think we're going to step off the platform and give it to them here for a little while. Praise the Lord.
Appreciate you guys coming to see this first gospel Christmas play. Brother Smith did give you a little bit of the insight there, and he was dead on. As soon as we got off the phone, I'm at work, and I had my mind focused, and then it was just gone after that. I was like, okay, what am I going to do? How are we going to figure this out? But I truly believe that the Lord put it on my heart, not only to help me with my faith, but oftentimes as we're reading in the Bible, you know, different sections, different parts, a lot of times you can put it in story mode and it's great for them and it just seems like it just flows. But you take the human element. God, for 6,000 years, has been dealing with people just like us. And so oftentimes when we read in the Old Testament, we put them on a different level. But they were just like us. They were just normal people going about their day-to-day life. So So when I got the idea, truly out of desperation, out of, you know, what can I do so we don't have to worry about all these props and the beards and everything. And I thought, well, why couldn't we? Why couldn't we go ahead and put it in today's time frame to see what it would be like for someone to get the news from an angel that they were about to have a child and they weren't married? There's a lot, if you look through Matthew, whenever you read for the story of the Nativity, and in Luke, that there's blank area there. There's just, it goes from step to step, but there's a lot of openness there. You just wonder, what happened? So after you see this, I hope it provokes you to go back and read the story again. And you can think for yourself, what we're doing here today, I had to take a little poetic license, and you can ask my father, I am so against poetic license. Okay, I'm not that guy. Whenever I watch a biblical movie or a historical one, I'm looking, oh, hey, that didn't happen. That didn't happen. But in this case, there's a lot of fill-in space that is just open to interpretation. So give me that today. I would hope that you watch with an open mind. And I really appreciate you guys. If all the cast and crew, I think we're about where we need to be. We're going to go at Zach, if you'll shut the back lights off there. And obviously, since this is our first inaugural one, you know, I'm an all-out guy. I like to see things done the right way. We couldn't get a curtain installed in time. I'm sorry, okay? And our lighting, it's going to be primitive here today. But just imagine with us, okay? If you'll give me that, imagine with us today what's about to occur. And enjoy yourself. And let's see if God will move on us this day.
Have a low budget for people to help us, so I'm sorry, guys, okay? Thank you.
It's getting close to that special time of year again when we all celebrate the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ. We'll get together with our families and tell the story of the wonderful gift that God gave to us on that first Christmas morning. Tonight, however, I would like to tell you the same story with a little twist. What if it didn't happen 2,000 years ago? What if it was about to happen this year in 2014? How would we react? How would this world receive the Savior?
I'm never going to be ready in time for this final. I think the professor has it out for me. I don't know. I think I'm just ready for summer. I'll be back home with my family, and Joey will be back in from leave. It's been at least 5 months. Well, yeah, but we weren't very serious about it. But as time goes on, the more serious it becomes. I don't know. I've been sick a lot lately, mostly in the morning, but it's been lasting a couple of months now. I think it's just stress. I took more than 18 credit hours after all.
Girl, is anyone else that say they're pregnant? Since it's young, I know that's not possible.
You know what I think about that? I've been getting pregnant until after I'm married. A good job, a lot of money in my bank account. 30 sounds like a good age.
Yeah, I know, because I'm driven straight, girl. Well, maybe it's just stress. Who knows? At least summer break is almost here.
He pulled into her parents' driveway. She couldn't believe the 8-hour trip had blown by so fast. All she could think about was getting to see Joey. It had been close to 6 months since the last time she had seen him. It was over winter break after her first semester of school. Joey was so thrilled that she achieved a 4.0 and made the dean's list. He told her he knew after she graduated that she would be a success at whatever she chose to do. No one believed in her quite like Joey.
Mom, Dad, I'm home.
Mary, the Shama Shalai.
Oh, my little Matek. It's so good to have you home from school. Come in, sit down. We'll get some tea for you.
Mom, Dad, I missed you both so much. I was starting to get really homesick.
Well, you know how I feel about that. I think our small community college would have been just fine. You didn't have to go off and associate with all those crazy goyim.
I know, Dad, but I wanted to get out and experience life on my own. It showed me that I truly believed in all the things that you taught me.
Yes, I know. Mary, each one of us must have our faith tested, like our father Abraham's faith was tested. Thankfully, Jehovah, blessed be his name, doesn't ask all of us to sacrifice our only son. Still, I wonder what was going through Abraham's mind.
Dear, I know you're tired. Why don't you get ready for bed, and I'll have your father bring the rest of your things in from his car.
Thanks, Mom. You know me too well.
Okay.
I'll see you all in the morning.
Night.
Good night. Who's there?
Do not be afraid, Mary. I am Gabriel, messenger of the Most High God. You are highly favored of the Lord. He is with you always.
Who are you? How did you get in my room? Does my father know you're here?
Please do not be afraid of me. Mary, you have found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Listen carefully. You have conceived and will give birth to a son. You will name him Jesus. He will be great in the sight of God and man.
Conceived? Give birth? Are you crazy?
The Holy Ghost has come upon you, and the power of the highest has overshadowed you. The child that is in your womb will be called the Son of God. Also, your cousin Liz is conceived and is in her 6th month.
Liz is pregnant? But that's crazy. Her and Zach have been trying for 30 years.
She may have been barren, but with God, anything is possible.
I guess I'd have to take a leap of faith to believe what you're telling me. If what you say is true, I humbly submit myself and welcome the birth of my son.
Your journey will not be easy. Your faith and resolve will be tested. Sleep now with peace and the assurance of God's love. He will be with you through it all.
Mamel, what are we to do with all these foreign powers? Britain, France, Rome, even the United States. Boy, will the Messiah ever come and put an end to this?
When it's time, dear, when it's time.
Mom, Dad, something amazing happened to me last night.
Let me guess, you had a good night's rest because you slept in your old bed?
No, Dad, I'm being serious. Something truly amazing happened.
Taya, tell us what it's about.
Gabriel, the angel, visited me last night.
The Gabriel? The one who spoke to our father in the wilderness of the 70 years? That Gabriel?
Well, he didn't quite introduce himself that way, but yes, that Gabriel.
Taya, tell us what he told you. Anytime a messenger of God comes to a child of Jacob, something great is going to happen.
Well, Mom, Dad, he told me I'm going to have a baby.
A baby?
Oh! Yes, he told me that the Holy Spirit overshadowed me, and I'm going to give birth to a son.
And did he happen to mention how this conception was going to take place?
His father, our God, placed Jesus in me.
That's enough. I will not have you blaspheme in my house. How dare you say such a thing that's so scandalous and to blame our God in heaven? I raised you better than that. First you lied to us, and worse, Mary, you use our faith in God and our promise of a coming Messiah to hide this terrible sin. You have brought shame and disgrace upon our house.
Dad, I'm not lying. The angel Gabriel really did visit me last night.
You're not welcome in this house anymore. I'll see you after the child is born.
Hey, this is it. This is enough. Don't say anything else. Do you even know who the father is? Poor Joey. Oh, Joey. Oh, Joey, you're going to break his heart with this news. Oh, my.
Hello. Joey, it's so good to hear from you. No, don't come to the house. Meet me at our spot at the park. All right. See you then. Bye.
so good to see you. I thought I was never going to see you again. Germany was great, but I didn't like being away from you at all.
When did you get in?
Just now. I called you as soon as I crossed the city line. Mary, on the phone you sound a little bit shaken. Are you okay?
Well, you know I wouldn't do anything to hurt you, right?
Yes, of course I do.
Me and my parents got into a fight this morning.
What? Your mom and dad dote on you. What could you possibly have said or done to have upset them?
Well, the angel Gabriel visited me last night.
Gabriel? The angel Gabriel? Well, what did he say?
He told me that I have conceived and will give birth to a son. We are to name him Jesus.
You're pregnant?
Joey, it's not what you think. Gabriel told me that the Holy Spirit has overshadowed me. Jesus was placed in me by his Father, our God. Joey, you have to believe me.
Mary, I just don't understand. If you didn't love me, all you had to do was tell me. I know college has a way of changing people, but I never thought it would affect you in this way. I really don't know what to say. I'm sorry. I need some time to think about this on my own.
Not Joey, too.
This is crazy. How could she do this to me? How could she do this to her parents? To our God? She still looks like my Mary. She's still acting like my Mary, but being pregnant? That's just too much. I can't believe she would do something like that. I've heard the prophecies of the coming Messiah coming to deliver his people, blah, blah, blah. But that doesn't happen to me, not Mary. Who are we? We're nobody. I can't just accept this. God, if this is from you, I need a sign from you. I can't even think straight. I need some sleep.
Son, and you will name him Jesus. He will save his people from their sins.
I understand now. I will make Mary my wife. I think it's best if we speak in person. Let's meet back at the park. Bye. Lovely weather today.
Yeah.
Not a cloud in the sky.
Joey,
Mary,
I...
Wait. Listen. I believe you. Gabriel came to me as well last night. He confirmed everything that you said and more. Mary, I want to get married as soon as possible. I want you to be my wife.
Joey, I'm so happy you believe me, but how can we get married? You're still serving overseas.
Well, God's timing is amazing. My enlistment ends in 7 months. When I get back to Germany, I'll put in my formal papers for release. And when I get back, we can start the family that God's blessed us with. I promise to be the best father that Jesus could have. Well, at least on earth. The only thing I'm trying to figure out now is where are you going to stay over the next few months?
Well, I think I know of a place. My cousin Liz is about to have a baby, and I know someone that needs practice.
Thank you.
True to his word, Joy took Mary to be his wife. They were married by Joseph of a peace in a little courthouse in a nearby small town. None of Mary or Joey's family had attended. Days later, Joy left to go back to Germany and finish out his term of service in the military. After Joy left, Mary went to stay with her cousin Liz and her husband Zach. They were glad to have her help and welcomed her with open arms.
Oh, Mary, there you are. I've been waiting for you.
It's so good to see you, Liz. Thank you for taking Jesus and I in while Joey's gone.
Oh, my. John is kicking up a storm in here. He must be so excited that you and Jesus are here. It is our pleasure to have you stay in our home. Mary, you are truly blessed to be carrying the Son of the Most High God. Come in. Let's get you settled.
And so 7 months came and went as Mary counted down the days until she could see Joey again. Finally, the day arrived when Mary was supposed to pick up Joey from the bus station.
Seeing you in person.
Hey, baby Jesus. Are you taking care of mommy?
So silly, Joey. Of course he's taking care of me. I have feet that feel like marshmallows, and I haven't seen them in a couple of months. I'm so ready for Jesus to be here.
Well, let's hurry up and go so we can get on the road to our new home. Bethlehem, PA, here we come. Oh man, I'm tired. 20 hours on the road is enough to make anybody go crazy. Mary, are you okay? Do we need to take another bathroom break?
No. Are we almost there?
Well, I think I saw a sign that said we're getting close to the city line. Hey, there's the city sign. Finally in Bethlehem.
Oh no, this traffic.
Yeah, it's pretty backed up. I think I saw a sign back there that said construction. Mary, are you okay?
Well, it's either the car is leaking, but I think my water just broke.
What? Are you serious? I have to get you to a hospital. Well, traffic's backed up. What do I need to do? I don't know what to do.
I don't know. Hurry, because...
I'll see if I can find someone who's got any medical experience.
Well, hurry, because Jesus is on his way.
Breathe. Are you a doctor? Is anybody here a doctor? Is that right?
Yes, I am.
Well, can you please come help my wife?
As a matter of fact, I'm on my way to deliver some pigs.
Wonderful. Well, I think she's about to have the baby.
Okay.
Pigs?
Yes.
What kind of doctor are you, ma'am?
I'm a vet. But I can help your wife.
Oh, Heavenly Father.
Come on, sweetheart. Come back. Here, take the towel.
Man, it's a miserable night. I sure wish this rain would stop.
I'll say it's bad enough. Working a late shift, but rain too? Sheesh.
Wow, it's bright. Is it a flying saucer? It's a human from a UFO, I think.
Look, the rain stopped. Mister, you should be careful. This is a hard hat area.
Do not fear for me. I come to bring you news of an amazing event. This very night, in the city of Bethlehem, a baby was born. He's the Savior, Christ the Lord. You will find him down the road in a car, wrapped in a towel. Glory to God in the highest.
Long lay the world in sin and error pining till he appeared and the soul felt its worth. A thrill of hope, the weary
Congratulations, you have a son. What are you going to name him?
His name shall be Jesus. And he is Christ, our Lord and our Savior.
Please join us in welcoming and singing joy to the world. Welcome our baby Jesus.
Joy to the world, the Lord has come. Let earth receive our King.
wanted y'all to know. We didn't want to leave you out. We're super glad you're here. And then I hope everyone will stay for dinner. We have enough for everyone, and we won't have service tonight. Regular 5 o'clock service. Yes, if the ushers, if the ushers would come, we'll receive the tithes and offerings. I almost left that out, and I forgot we've got to pay the bills. So if the ushers will come, and I don't know if, do we have enough young men for young ushers to pass out the bags of candy? Can y'all do that? Can we cancel out at the same time here while they're receiving the offering? I want to again invite everyone to stay and eat dinner with us. And also, I'll mention again that we will not have regular service tonight at 5 o'clock. So, if you would, if we can, I'd like to pray for the food and the fellowship that we're about to partake of, and also for the offering. But I also like for you to remember all of our needs. We have different ones sick. I won't ask for everyone, to name your request. But if you would just raise your hands if you've got a request. I know the Lord's aware of it. And the only person I know of right now in the hospital or Brother Fred Stewart's recovering from surgery. And Sister Crow, of course, are in need of our prayers continually with their health situation. Brother Ron Johnson's wife has lung cancer. She's in Seattle going through a battery of tests. And then Brother J.W., Mansfield is in UAMS. He's had a stroke. He's been on life support. I was down to see him yesterday, or day before yesterday, and I think they've moved him in a regular room, got him maybe off of life support this morning, but he's still not doing well. So remember him in your prayers. All right, let's ask the Lord to meet these needs. Father, thank you for your goodness and your great grace and mercy. Ask you to meet these needs, Lord. I know you're mindful of every situation. You're our present help in the time of need, our great physician. You're our Lord and our Savior. We ask you to help us, oh God. Reach out and touch these situations. And we want to give you praise today for your coming to this world, your saving grace, oh God. I pray that some way this day has touched hearts and lives. Some way you could use this for your glory. That you would reach out and touch someone in a way that would further them in your purpose. Bless us. Food and the fellowship we're going to partake of. We give you praise. Bless this offering. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. God bless you as you give here today. Also, go ahead and mention that Wednesday is Christmas Eve. I always give that service off, so we'll be closed for Christmas Eve service Wednesday. I just do that because I know a lot of families are gathering together and they'll be, you know, eating together and celebrating the holidays together. So we won't have service Wednesday night, but the following Wednesday will be New Year's Eve. We'll have a New Year's Eve watch night service. And we will have dinner downstairs before watch night service. And then the Friday after Christmas, Friday after Christmas is the youth are going to the youth meeting in Mount Carmel, Illinois. They'll leave, y'all leaving Friday, and they'll go to Paducah and be in service there. Then they'll go on Saturday and be in the youth meeting in Mount Carmel, Illinois. So I know the youth are looking forward to that. Is there any other? Oh, yes. After New Year's Eve, yes, New Year's Eve watch night service, the youth will have a lock-in here at the church. They'll spend the night together. Of course, there'll be chaperones. And so the youth are planning a lock-in time together. I would go to, I'm just too old for that. I got to have my sleep. But I'm for the youth. All right. Praise God. I wonder if we could just give him one more praise. I appreciated our youth today, didn't you? This little skit, to me, that was precious. They'll take that with them all through their life. They'll never forget, you know, that little skit that they just put on. And so many things they did, I don't know if I ever even thought of some of them, of what, you know, like what all Mary went through and what she thought or how her parents reacted. And Brother Durham told me he was going to be Mary's dad, I never even thought about that guy before, really. So, but I'll never get him out of my mind now. Let's give him a praise. Thank you, Lord, God, for your goodness and your mercy. Stand with me. Hallelujah. Precious Savior, we give you praise. Hallelujah. We worship you, O God. Thank you for your goodness to us in every way. Amen, amen. All right. We'll go down this stairway here to dinner. If you can, stay and have fellowship with us.